us in a wonderful time of worship. I noticed a common theme as we sang is Jesus. I figured you can't go wrong if you talk about Jesus when you praise God, right? Hey, you know how you can look at the same situation? Two different people can look at something and see something differently, right? So watch this. So here's my question. Is this a gray shirt with red stripes, or is it a red shirt with gray stripes? They're like, it's gray with red, and some are like, it's pink. I don't know, whatever, but it's red with gray. You know, sometimes something can happen in someone's life, and they are completely overwhelmed with it, and then someone else can look at that same thing and go, no, it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to be okay. And then something else can happen, and the folks will be like, yeah, you know, I think it's going to be okay. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's going to be all right. And somebody else is looking at that same thing going, how are you not flipping out, man? Because I would be, like, totally dying right now and stressing to no end. How are you doing this? How are you getting through this? I don't understand. You know, it's amazing how two people can look at the same thing and see something that is just so different. Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at one of those times. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8 is the story of the disciples going out with Jesus into a boat in the water. And many of you, I no doubt, have heard this story before, but I want us to look at this again today. Matthew chapter 8, and I want to start at verse 23, and I'll read through verse 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We're going to drown! He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Same situation, two different parties looking at the same thing and are seeing it so totally differently. We as a church believe that we are called to be a people of faith. We're supposed to try to live our lives by faith. And faith invites us to look at life differently than the world looks at life. Faith invites us to look at life and by faith look to try to see life the way that God sees life through us. That our focus not be on us, but our focus be on God. This story of Jesus and the disciples out on the water in the midst of the storm coming in is really is a great story of faith, but it's also one that leads and it encourages us as the church to ask that question. How does God look at the storms in my life? And how do I look at the storms in my life? I want to embrace God's view of the storms in my life so that every time one's coming around, that I'm looking at the storm and the troubled waters and the troubled wind, the high winds, right, and the waves that are crashing over into the boat of my life. I'm looking at those things. The best I understand as I'm learning about God and the way He looks at me and looks at life, so that I'm looking at those the way that God is looking at those. I want to embrace my storms the way that God embraces those things and the way He sees them and the way He invites me to see them. And it makes me ask the question because this is a topic that for me, especially like over the last couple of years, has really been one that I've kind of wrestled with. And I won't go, and many of you have heard our story, a couple of times. So I'm not going to go into all that, but enough to say it's been a struggle for me to try to remember that storms happen to everybody. That storms do not discriminate. that troubles happen to everyone. They don't show favoritism to one person over the other or to one church over another. They just come and they happen whether you want them to or not. And, you know, of course, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, you know, it talks about how, you know, it's going to come and the people who will try to live their lives wisely, according to the wisdom of God, will tend to probably experience maybe less storms than others. But it doesn't matter. Like, they're going to come. Everybody's going to have to just get in a boat, and they're going to be going through some storms, and the waves are going to crash over, and the wind's going to be howling, and you're going to be wondering, why does it feel like Jesus is sleeping in my storm? Why isn't he waking up and, like, calming the wind and the waves? I'm not getting this at all. This does not make any sense at all in this moment. And then you look at this story, and you go, man, Jesus himself is in a boat, and he, for the disciples that are with him, and he himself does not even stop the storm so that he can have a peaceful nap out on the lake. He doesn't even stop the disciples from having to go through a storm. And it's kind of interesting to me that if you actually have to go back to Matthew 7, you remember this, the teaching of Jesus where he says there's these two builders. One builds on the rock, one builds on sand, and the one that builds on the sand, when the wind and the waves are pushing in, the one that's built on sand, it just but the one that built on the rock was able to stand up through all the storms and the tests that came through. And it's interesting, you stop and look at that. Both the wise, righteous person and both the fool go through what? They go through storms. Everybody goes through storms. Life is not always fair. It's not always, it doesn't always turn out the way we want it to. Life is not always just the way we think that it should be. I've done the right thing. I should get the right result. Sometimes it doesn't matter. You can go to church Sunday after Sunday. You can worship God and you can pray and you can have your quiet time and you can read the scriptures. You can be on it. And yet you still find, how did I end up getting cancer? Why did this happen? God, haven't I done all the right things? Are you not pleased with me? I don't get this. You know, I told you I wrestled with this with some over the last couple of years of what we were going through. It wasn't just me; it was our family. It was kind of going through, and when I got back here and I was trying to get a job and struggling to get a job, and I was like, Lord, I know I did the right thing. I know this is what you wanted me to do. I know, I believe with all my heart that we're in the right place we're supposed to be in. I'm working hard. I'm finishing up my schooling, and it's a Master of Divinity. It's not like, you know, I mean, like, God, I'm doing God stuff, and I'm trying to do God things with the rest of my life, and I know it, God, I know you're on this. And then, yet, God, why can I not get a job? I was in the jail sharing that little testimony with the ladies in the jail, and I was like, you ever know what it's like? You know what it's like when you try to apply for a job and you know you're qualified for it, and then they won't give you the time of day, and you're going, I don't get this. And the ladies in jail are, you know, they're responding back going, uh-huh, yeah. See, I know this. You know, it's just like, yeah. It's like, I'm going, yeah, I know. It's a pain in the foot. It's better than saying the alternative, I think. So anyways, troubles, they happen to everybody. And the scriptures are very clear about this. And Jesus does not change the course on this. I mean, it's the way it happens, right? So if everybody's having them, and Jesus doesn't even keep his own followers from having to go through them, and Jesus doesn't even keep himself out of them. We're going to get over here early this morning, that even when he goes to the cross, he doesn't stay away from the trouble of the pain of the crucifix. Glory came through the path of pain and suffering. It happens for everybody. We're all going to go through it. And it's not about whether it's fair, and it's not about whether it shouldn't happen. It's not about all the, well, what ifs and the whys. It's, folks that read Ecclesiastes would tell us, dude, like, it just is. And it does stink. And you don't get the answers. And you're probably not going to get the explanation. You're just going to have to go through it and walk through it a day at a time. And hold out hope. Ecclesiastes is such a fun book to read because you have to read it to the end. Because you get reading through the whole thing and you're like, why even bother? Are you kidding me? But then you get to the end and you go, oh, okay. Like, I can't change it all, but you know, it's true. One thing that really matters at the end is just, you know what? Fear the Lord and obey His commands. Just walk a life of following and service of God. And at the end of the day, that's really what matters anyways. Why? Because God didn't put me here just for this moment. I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm passing through, right? So it's for what is yet to come. And that's kind of where this story baits us to look. That you see, troubles are also a testing ground of our faith. It's an interesting thing to the story for me. I'd always overlooked this until I was looking at the story again, and I realized it. It's nice when you listen to the voices of other people, right, that have also read these scriptures. And one of the things that I had learned that I totally overlooked was that Jesus had told them already that they were going to go across to the other side of the lake. It seems very simple, inconsequential, but yet pretty important. You're going to go the other side of the lake, right? He's been preaching, he's been doing miracles, and no doubt he's probably tired, but so he gets in the boat, and he takes a nap as they're out there, and the storm is coming, and they're freaking out, but he's already told them they're going to go to the other side of the lake, and the ministry is going to continue on the other side. Jesus already knew where they were going. They didn't know, but he knew. He had already willed their destination to be over here. And when the storm comes, he doesn't change what he's already desired and willed and for them to go, to arrive at, and to do. He says, will you have faith in me even though you're not sure how it's playing out and how it's going, things aren't necessarily going the way you think they ought to go, and you're scared maybe for your life, and the water's coming in, and the wind is howling, and you're freaking out because you think I'm not with you, and I'm absent, but I'm actually present, and I'm not worried about it because I already know where we're going, right? See, you just don't see what I see. You don't get to understand in this moment what I'm already understanding about where we're going and what we're going to go do. I thought, oh man, all right now. Jesus knew that they would reach their destination. Every day for a believer in Jesus Christ who has repented of their sin and turned to faith in Christ to follow the Lord, this ought to be a reminder for us every day that God knows the destination. He already knows. He's already paved the way for us. Just because we don't see him and just because we don't hear him speaking directly to us, and it may seem like he's taking a nap on a pillow, doesn't mean that he doesn't already know where the destination is at. He's not going to keep us from arriving at our destination when we hold our faith in him. He's like, I got you. I got you. I know the waves. I know the water's crashing over, but I'm not worried about that. I know the wind is blowing. You ever been on a boat in a storm? Yeah, have anybody ever done that? Like, and the winds really start to get to move, that boat starts to rocking, and we're not talking about a sea cruise here, you know. This is not like the big boat, you know, Gilligan's Island and going on the Disney cruise. I mean, we're not talking about that kind of boat. So y'all been out in the wind and the waves, right? Mm-hmm, it's getting kind of choppy and raw. You ever try to take a nap in the midst of all that? Who does that? Well, okay. We have one crazy person, but we love him. So you just can't. You're average person. You're exceptional. But the average person doesn't do that. But maybe there's something to believing that in the midst of our chaos, our peace is not in the absence of a storm, but the presence of a Savior. Maybe that's where we're able to rest and lay our head down in peace and be able to say, you know what? I may be going through one, but he calms the storm. All is well with my soul. And I will sit in this moment and I will inhale his grace and I will exhale worship and I will just praise him and thank him and trust him, because even though I can't see what anything good is going to come out of this moment, my life is not about this moment. My life is about what I've been created to experience with God on the other side of glory. And he said, go to the other side. If he said it, you're going to get there. Because the storm does not control Jesus. Jesus controls the storms. The waves have to be obedient to the Creator. The Creator does not have to be obedient to the waves. Two different people, two different groups of people saw the same situation so differently. Jesus saw it as a testing ground for their faith. You and I have no doubt have some stories. Anybody got a story where Jesus has been good? Anybody, just show a hand. Everybody got a story in life where you go, you know what? I've got one story, at least one story that I could tell where Jesus is good, right? Like real good. How many of those have come from troubles in your life? Show of hands. Just curious. How many storm? Right? Some of you don't want to raise. I get it. But you're like, yeah, I got you. I feel you. Yep, absolutely. Those are to be testimonies that are to tell of the goodness of God. This story, or 2,000 years ago, let's say, just right, is still encouraging people and teaching people about faith in God today. All those years, and that story is still teaching. Do you think that those disciples in that boat on that particular day, when that storm is rolling in and Jesus is sleeping and what they experienced with him, I don't see how they could have looked at that moment and said, you know what, I bet at New Hope Community Church down the road, that crazy pastor is going to be talking about our story. It's going to be awesome. We got to hang in there, man, because it's going to be good, right? Because he's going to give us some props and how, and like, uh-uh, ain't no way. You see, you don't know how your stories that go through you riding through the storm with Jesus, you don't understand today how those testimonies are going to be able to shape the faith who are going to come after you. And it may be your grandkids, and it may be your great-grandkids, or it may just be your children, or you know what? It may just be your spouse. When you get some news in your marriage that you don't want to get, but you get it anyways, and you're going to have to go through something together in a season of life that you don't want to go through, but it will be what it will be. And the stories of how you will remind each other that, look, God has always been faithful to us. Let us not doubt in this dark moment what we knew to be true in the light. I know this moment is hard, and I'm scared, and I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm telling you, I know that God is faithful, and I know that he is Lord of the storm. And it's not about how it turns out right now. And it's not about how it turns out 6 months from now. Because it may not turn out the way we want it to in our heart and our mind. It's about how it turns out on the last day. And what matters is that we'll be with Jesus. We were created to enjoy this, but we're created to be with our Creator. And I'm going to hold on to that. Right? So, and we tell our stories to encourage one another to hold on to the hope that we know is real in Jesus. And we encourage the people that maybe we work with, or our neighbors, our friends that are struggling, and we tell our stories, not because we want them to think, dude, you're like super lucky. Like, how do you manage? It's like, no. Because remember, the story's not about us, right? What's the story about? It's about God. It's about the grace of God. I want to tell the story and give glory to the grace of God. That he is a faithful God. And that gets me to thinking about how might we could respond to our troubles. If by faith we genuinely believe in what we've been talking about, I wondered if we could say that, you know what? Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Lord, I know I'm going to ride some waves. And you said in this world I will have trouble. Now, you didn't define what it would look like, but you said, I will. So, okay. I got you. I feel you. So, you also said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So my story is not to be defined by my struggle. God, help my story be defined by a saving Savior. I choose today to not let my story be defined by my struggle and my storm. I will not. You see, if you don't decide that you're not going to let your story be defined by your struggle, nobody's going to decide that for you. Now, granted, you need the help of the grace of God, because that is really hard. But if you have not already decided that's what you want to do, you're going to have a tough go at it. Because Satan wants to tempt us to doubt that God is faithful to his word. To doubt God's promises. That's the heart of the temptation back in the Garden of Eden. You, Adam and Eve, that's it right there. Can you really trust that what God said is true? Do you really think that you will? Da 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 da. I mean, come on, seriously? Really? Are you like, you know, that's the heart of it. Do you really in this storm think that God has got the ability to handle what concerns you today? Do you really think that? You have to decide. As for me and my household, we straight up will believe. We will. I mean, you have to have that conviction, determination of the heart. I will. And God, by your grace, I can sustain this. By your grace, I have this conviction burning in my heart. And by your grace, I will be able to stand and sustain. And by your grace, I will be fully redeemed. By your grace, God, by your grace shall I get through this. By your grace, I will not be overcome. By your grace, I will stand with my Lord and Savior. By your grace will I have my eternity that you have planned for me. By your grace, God, this storm will not determine my story. Because that has determined my story. So here's what then I want to do. I want to hymn my troubles with prayer and praise. I thought this was good because we had all the stitches of joy, lays that love to sew. And I was like, you know straight up what hymning is, right? I was in a room, I've been in a room with the ladies right in jail. And I was like, you know what hymning is? And it's like, what? You know, it's like, could have picked a better example. But I know it works here. Hymn the troubling with prayer and praise. And so here's what I'm saying. We have decided in our heart by faith what we've already been talking about. So as an act of faith then, daily, I'm going to hymn this day in with prayer and praise. I'm going to hymn my troubles in with prayer and praise. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God for help to get through my storm. And I'm going to praise God that he's getting me through it and that he's going to get me through it. You say, well, but I ain't even done yet. It's just getting started. Well, that's all right. If you know how the story ends, you know he's going to get you through it and you'll reach the final destination. So just go and praise him for it today. But just go and praise him, thanking him for it. Because you know he's good, right? You know that he is a God who will do what he says he will do. God, help me. And God, thank you. You know, when you read the lament psalms, it's kind of like the middle chunk of the book of Psalms. When David writes the lament psalms, he starts out going, oh my gosh, life is horrible. This is, I can't believe this happened to me. This is absolutely miserable. I can't. And then he ends and goes, you know what? Hey, but God is good. God can handle this. God is mighty. He's a powerful God. He's the Lord of all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pass the chicken. He's like, I have no reason to. I trust God for everything. It's getting close to lunch, I know. I trust God for everything. So even though my life is just, isn't that how it feels sometimes? I won't do that again. But yeah, it feels that way sometimes. And when he's lamenting, he says, but lament, it's fine. Cry out to God. But praise God too. Praise him in your tears. Hymn it in with prayer and praise, asking God and thanking God. Praise his faithfulness. God, I know you're not neglecting me in this storm. you're giving me the grace to endure this storm as just as you promised you would. You are in my corner every day. You never leave me nor forsake me. You are a faithful God, and I trust you. And I praise you for being a faithful God. God, I praise you for your power, because I know that this storm, this trouble in my life, does not hold a candle to the power of Jesus, who is in the storm with me and saves me. The storm cannot stop my Savior. The storm does not define my story. God, you are an all-powerful God who is a faithful deliverer. And I praise you for being so powerful. And I praise you for your promise. Because, see, I believe, God, nothing will overcome me or keep me from arriving at my final destination. I will reach the other side because you've already willed that I would reach that other side through my faith, and I'm going to hold on. And, God, help me that through all of this that I'll tell my story of the troubles I've gone through, but how your grace has been sufficient so that I could stand up. And when I had nothing else and I didn't know what else to do, that I was, and I didn't feel like I could stand, that I could still stand. Why? Because your grace was lifting me up so that I could stand underneath the weight and the burden of the storm. I know Jesus didn't. Jesus calms the storm. And sometimes, as I've listened to folks talk about some of the struggles they go through in life, and even sometimes when they point to this passage, it's like, well, Jesus, he calmed the storm. He's to calm the storm. But what we sometimes overlook is the fact that, what did they experience before Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves? They experienced the storm. They had to go through it. And the story doesn't tell us exactly how long they had to go through this storm. The Savior's got the storm. He does. So we can be a steward of our troubles. Be a steward of our troubles, that God may work through our troubles by walking through them with the Savior. God be glorified in this moment. God be glorified in this pain. God be glorified in this confusion. God be glorified because I feel so anxious right now. God be glorified in this, the time. I don't know how long this thing is going to last, and I'm tired of it, and I'm worn slap out. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of being broke. I'm just sick and tired. You know, it's like, I'm just sick and tired of this. Like, God, please. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I got you. But you hold on to me. I got you. You trust me. I got you. You just lean on me. I got you. And here's maybe the hardest one. You ready for this? Here it is. You be patient. You just be patient. Because you see, what you don't see in this moment, watch this, Abby. This is really good. Watch this, really. What you don't see in this moment is that what you're going through, God's like, I know it's hard, but see, I already see over here, and I need you to be faithful just day by day, and I need you to weather these storms, because I got you. I'm with you. I'm in the boat. I got you. Just come on, keep going. I'm tired. I know, but I got you. Just be patient. Come on. I don't have anything else. All right, my grace will sustain you, but I'll give you what you need. Just come on. Don't quit. Be faithful to the end. Come on, keep being faithful. Be faithful. You see, and then your story reaches these young men over here, and they hear how you didn't give up when you were tired and worn down in your story. And when they're going through hardship, they have a testimony of somebody who was faithful. Not somebody who's out of the page of Scripture, but somebody that they know and they can see and they can talk to, they can listen to, they can engage. He calms the storm. And his testimony through your patience can do more than you ever understood it possible. But it's your patience that will make for your participation in a great story. God's got it. Let him be Lord. If you've never chosen to put your faith in a Savior who can handle those storms in your life, who is able to forgive you of your sins, able to give you peace with God, is able to stand you up so you can have hope for the future, hope for today. If you've never chosen to put your faith and trust in Jesus, can I invite you to consider making that decision today? We've all got storms. God desires we grow through them with him by his grace. And they become a story that we tell that gives glory to God. And we see there's a living God at work in our lives today. And he can work in their life like he's worked in our life today. But it's going to only be through Jesus. Because he is the path to salvation. He's the Savior of the storms. That's the gospel we need to be telling. If you've never put your hope in Jesus, I want to invite you to consider doing that today. I want to do something too that, and then let me know. On your card, you'll see there's, on the bulletin, I'm sorry, at the bottom of that, it says, you know, it, you'll see there in the bottom corner, that's like, you know, I've made a decision for Jesus, and gives instructions there. And I mostly encourage you to reach out to me, let me know, because I want to follow up with you, because that's such an exciting decision to make in your life. And so please, listen to God and respond to God's invitation if that's where you are today. I want to end our, we're still going to sing a closing song, but I want to end this message out today asking, if you have a trouble, a storm that you're going through, and you feel overwhelmed today, I want to invite you, if you're willing, to come forward and allow your family, the church family, your family of friends that are with you, the body of Christ, to gather around you, because we want to pray for you today. I want to pray for strength. I want to pray, I don't ever pray for patience, but I want to pray for patience. Because you're already in your storm. It's not like we're asking to give you more. Patience to sustain you. Maybe you're sick, struggling. Maybe it's financial. Maybe your relationship. Maybe it's whatever, right? But I'd love for us to gather and pray for one another this morning. If you'd like to come forward, could we all stand at this moment? If you'd like to come forward, maybe you want to grab the hand of somebody next to you and can come forward and have oil here. We'd love to anoint you and with oil this morning, and we'll lay hands upon you and pray for you today in the name of Jesus Christ. We're not asking him to fix our storms. That's not the prayer. That's not a fair prayer. Anoint in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit this morning. The Lord bless your faith today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord continue to bless your faith today in the midst of the storms. Brother, anoint you today with the oil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you for your faith. Sister, I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you for your faith today. Christ, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence today amidst our storms, as we know that Jesus is amongst us. God, it is by faith we gather today in this place, a holy place, because your Spirit is amongst us, and with faith and with hope amidst tiredness and despair and confusion and overwhelming emotions and questions we cannot answer, hopes that we have not yet seen fulfilled, we stand in this place and we remember that you are the Savior over our storms, that the storms obey you, not the other way around, that your Spirit is a powerful part of who you are. And God, we confess that we are in need of your intervention. We cannot calm the waves, but you can. And we ask that you would give us strength to patiently wait upon you. Renew a hope within us as we go through our trials, that our suffering would develop perseverance and build our character and strengthen our hope that you are a powerful, faithful God who promises to get us to the other side. And yet we are tired often in this journey. And so please lift us up by your holy hand. Hold us up so that even though it feels like we can't stand, that God, we can stand because we stand upon faith in Christ Jesus. He is our deliverer. Our hope is in him. Thank you that you are faithful to us. May this word not go out void today, but may it encourage our faith and may it return to you. And may you, in the work that you're doing in your kingdom, in the world, through our stories, our lives, go out and see people drawn to Jesus. That our troubles not be about us, but they be about sharing the grace of our God, and people be drawn to faith and be drawn to salvation. Use our lives for the growth of your kingdom, God, please. And we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for being exactly who you are, an all-sufficient God. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Help us remember that today, that God loves us. Amen.